The scene was in the jailhouse, and if curfew rang that night, Nell's dad in number 13 cell would go out like a light. She knew her dad was innocent, so plucky little Nell, she tied her tender torso to the clapper of the bell.
Hang on the bell, Nellie, hang on the bell. Your poor daddy's locked in a cold prison cell. As he swings to the left, Nellie, swings to the right. Remember that curfew bell must never ring tonight.
It had started when sweet Nellie said no, no to handsome Jack, and struggled for her virtue there down by the railroad track. Nell's dad came to her rescue. As the train roared down the line, Jack fell back across the track and paid the price of crime.
Hang on the bell, Nellie, hang on the bell. Your poor daddy's locked in a cold prison cell. As you swing to the left, Nellie, swing to the right. Remember that curfew bell must never ring tonight.
Nell's daddy got arrested and brought up before the law. The sheriff said, old handsome Jack ain't handsome anymore. Poor Nell, she cried and pleaded, but the jury didn't care. They didn't have a sofa, so they offered him the chair.
On the bell, Nellie, hang on the bell. Your poor daddy's locked in a cold prison cell. As you swing, she goes to the left, Nellie, swing right. Remember that curfew bell must never ring.
They pulled upon the bell rope, but there was no ting-a-ling. They could not get their foul deed done, for curfew would not ring. To and fro, aloft swung Nell, while below they pulled and heaved, when suddenly a voice cried,
"Stop! Your daddy's been reprieved!"
They cut her fair young body down, while she made protests weak. And as they laid her out upon the ground, she cried in girlish pique, "Look, I tried to save my daddy, which was true a noble thing. But still, while I was up there, man, I learned it's fun to swim."
On the bell, Nellie, hang on the bell. Your poor daddy's torn from his cold prison cell. As you swing to the left, Nellie, swing. No matter when that curfew rings, we're gonna swing tonight.
Hang on the bell, Nellie. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I have with me on the phone two of the three gentlemen who performed that very memorable song. I have Chad and Mike, two-thirds of the Chad Mitchell Trio.
This is Mike Koblak, and this is Chad Mitchell. And you can't tell our voices apart because we are, in truth, twins.
Either that or it's actually Chad portraying Mike.
Or Mike portraying Chad.
I guess you'll never know.
We want to acknowledge that the other member of the Chad Mitchell Trio, Joe Frazier, could not make it tonight, but has promised to listen to the show and critique it.
And correct, at least to Chad and me, anything that we say that he thinks is perhaps incorrect.
What can you tell me about that song, Hang on the Bell, Nellie? Either of you?
Well, that's a good question.
Because we're both silent. But we got it, if you want to know the truth. It seems to me, and I could be wrong, but I think Jim McGuinn brought that song to us. At least in my old age memory bank.
I wonder if it's based on a true story. Well, I don't know.
What did they call those things? Melodramas. You know, it's based on a melodrama of some sort. And whether it was just a satire of
the melodramatic period, because they always had these guys with the twisted mustaches and, you know, and such is on the railroad tracks, and Dudley Do-Right is going to, you know, I mean, it's all of that stuff. Whether it's based on something, I truly don't know.
One of my favorite recordings by your group is Hello, Susan Brown. I don't think there's any deep meaning to this song, but it's a very catchy song, I think, Chad.
There's a deeper meaning than you think.
Oh, well then.
We changed a few lyrics.
Oh.
I think it was a fairly early song. We wanted to make it a children's song. But the real lyric is not coffee grows on white oak trees. The real lyric is coffee grows on white folks' trees. Their river runs with brandy-o. You know, so it really is a black children's song in its derivation. But that was the real lyric initially. And we said, no, let's not muddy up the waters of this great kid song with the political connotation at that point. So we did change the lyric to that.
And it became a chart record for you, too.
It did.
And we're going to listen to it right now. Hello, Susan Brown, the Chad Mitchell Trio.
Coffee grows on white oak trees. The river flows with brandy, oh. Go choose someone to roam with you. Sweet as lasses candy. There's two in the middle and a cat and Stosy, two in the middle and a cat get around, two in the middle and a cat and Stosy, hello, Susan Brown. Two in the middle and a cat and Stosy, two in the middle and a cat get around, two in the middle and a cat and Stosy, hello, Susan Brown. Rebel, steamboat, river and canal, I lost my true love on that great canal. Well, she's gone, 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 and gone, gone, gone. She's gone for to stay on that great canal. Four in the middle and I can't get around. Four in the middle and I can't get Josie. Hello, Susan Brown. Four in the middle and I can't get Josie. Four in the middle and I can't get around. Four in the middle and I can't get Josie. Hello, Susan Brown. Railroad, steamboat, river and canal. I've lost my true love on that bridge and canal. Well, she's gone, gone, gone. She's gone, gone, gone. She's gone for to stay on that bridge and canal.
Hello, Susan Brown. This is Ronnie Allen talking to Chad Mitchell and Mike Kobluck. Did I pronounce that right? Kobluck, is it?
It's pretty close. It's Kobluck.
But I it wasn't close at all. You're so kind. I had all the letters right, but not the pronunciation of the vowels. Now say it again. How do you pronounce it again?
Kobluck.
Kobluck.
Bob is in corn and luck is in good.
Some people might remember this particular song that you did called Lizzie Borden. By a show of hands, anybody out there remember it? Okay, I see a few hands. I imagine a few hands there.
With weapons in them.
Oh, I hope not. Well, before we get to the discussion of the song, do you think that Lizzie really did it?
You know, I have read something recently that tells me that she did not, that she was exonerated. But who knows? At this point, She became a folk legend and probably still is in some fashion.
Well, I got news. Mrs. O'Leary's cow was also exonerated. But that didn't do a lot of good. You know, everybody still thinks that that cow caused the Great Chicago Fire. But for years, I have wanted to find out the answer to this question. I'll ask Chad this question. Joe's not around.
Joe, I think, because he was the poet laureate of the group who started the whole song off. But
yeah,
here,
so you know what?
Now you have to ask me.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm going to ask you because you were the one that introduced the poet laureate, Joe Frazier, who intoned the words, "Elizabeth Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. And when the job was nicely done, she gave her father 41. And everybody in the audience was laughing at that. Okay. Then, Chad, you start singing the song, and it's "Yesterday in Old Fall River, Mr. Andrew Borden died, and they got her daughter Lizzie on a charge of homicide. Some folks say she didn't do it. Others say, of course, she did. I might as well do this entire song." They all agree, Miss Lizzie B. And then the thing is, though, you had the father getting killed first and then the mother, whereas Joe Frazier had it the other way around, the mother and then the father. So what gives? What happened? Wasn't that a contradiction there?
Well, Mike has done a study on this in some depth, and he has an answer.
It's called poetic license.
Oh, okay.
Which means there is no answer, I guess.
It means you could do whatever you want. Basically.
Well, it's the story of two different technicians. You know, each one says this is right and that's right, but the little poem came from one source and the song came from another, and we could never find out the real answer, so we just said, okay, we'll just deal with both of them and let people like you ask the obvious question.
In fact, this is the very first time I've ever heard that question asked.
And you probably hope it's the last time that you ever get that question asked.
Oh, no. Now that you've asked, we'll do the research and find out.
This particular song did not originate with you, obviously. Actually, I believe it was part of a Broadway show, was it?
Off-Broadway show called New Faces, I think of 1952 or so.
I think it actually was on Broadway by that time. 1952 or 3.
Okay.
Yeah. And the interesting story about that is that we were recording at that point for the Belafonte organization. They produced that record, and then they licensed it to Cap Record. And they, of course, assigned us what they call an A&R man. And at one point, he said, we should have a little comedy maybe in your thing, you know, in your album. And he said, here's this song from Broadway of 1953. And he played the song for us, and we kind of liked it, but we kind of drew ourselves up in some sort of folk cloak, you know, and said, oh, but we're folk singers. We don't do Broadway material. And, of course, he twisted our arms, and indeed we did do Lizzie Borden, and to our surprise, it became one of the first air hits that we ever had.
And one very exciting area of folk idiom and folk music to us has always been the hatchet murders in Massachusetts. And I think that this quaint bit of suburban living can best be explained through the use of our poet laureate, Joe Frazier.
Elizabeth Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. And when the job was nicely done, she gave her father 41. Yesterday in Old Fall River, Mr. Andrew Borden died, and he got his daughter Lizzie on a charge of homicide. Some folks say she didn't do it, and others say, of course, she did. But they all agree Miss Lizzie B was a problem kind of kid. Cause you can't stop your papa up in Massachusetts, not even if his plan is a surprise. No, you can't stop your papa up in Massachusetts. You know how neighbors love to criticize. On the sofa where he'd gone to take a snooze, and I hope he went to heaven cause he wasn't wearing shoes. Lizzie kinda rearranged him with a hatchet, so they say. Then she got her mother in that same old fashioned way. But you can't stop your mama up in Massachusetts, not even if your
tired of her cuisine.
Her cuisine, no, you can't stop your mama up in Massachusetts. And no, it's almost sure to cause a scene.
Well, they really kept her hopping on that busy afternoon, with both down and upstairs chopping while she hummed a ragtime tune. They really made her hustle, and when all was said and done, she'd removed her mother's bustle when she wasn't wearing one.
Oh, you can't stop your mama a bit fast, and then blame all the damage on the mice. No, you can't stop your mama a bit fast. That kind of thing just isn't very nice.
Now, it wasn't done for pleasure, and it wasn't done for spite, and it wasn't done because the lady wasn't very bright. She'd always done the slightest thing that Mom and Papa bid, they said.
Lizzie, cut it out.
So that's exactly what she did.
No, you can't stop your papa a bit. Massachusetts, Massachusetts is a far cry from New York. No, you can't stop your papa a bit. Massachusetts.
Shut the door and lock and latch it. Here comes Lizzie with a brand new hatchet.
You can't stop your papa a bit. Massachusetts.
Bunch of snob, I've heard it said. She met her pa and cut him dead.
You can't stop your papa a bit. Massachusetts.
Jump like a fish, jump like a porpoise. All join hands and habeas corpus.
You can't stop your papa a bit.
I'm Ronnie Allen talking with Chad Mitchell and Mike Kobluk. Mighty Day, the title song from an LP. Back in those days, they, years and years ago, they called them LPs. These days, they call them CDs. It was from Mighty Day on Campus, which was a live concert, and it was at Brooklyn College that you did it. And it was Chad, you, and Mike, and Joe. Mighty Day, how did you come across that song, and is there any interesting story about that song?
It's a song about the hurricane that hit in Texas and leveled
Galveston,
Texas, very similar in a way to the hurricane that leveled New Orleans. And so it's still kind of relevant today if you just change the name of the city.
Down in Galveston when storm wind swept the town, the high tide from the ocean lord put water all around. Wasn't that a mighty day?
A mighty day.
A mighty day.
A mighty day.
A mighty day. Great God, that morning when the storm wind swept the town. The wind began to blow and the rain began to fall. The lightning shafts were cracked and roared and thunder started to roll. Wasn't that a mighty day?
A mighty day,
a mighty day,
a mighty day,
a mighty day. Great God, that morning when the storm was swept the town. The trumpets warned the people, you'd better leave this place. But they never meant to leave their home till death was in their face. The seas began to roll and the ships they could not land. I heard a captain cry, God, we save a drowning man.
Wasn't that a mighty day?
A mighty day,
a mighty day,
a mighty day. Great God, that morning when the storm went swept the town. The trains, they all were loaded with people even town. The tracks gave way to the ocean floor and the trains, they went on down. The waters like the river, they came rushing to and fro. I saw my father drown and God, and I watched my mother go. Was that a mighty day? A mighty day.
A mighty day.
A mighty day. Great God, that morning when the storm went swept the town. Your hands are icy, you've got them on my knee. You took away my mother, now you're coming after me.
Wasn't that a mighty day, a mighty day,
a mighty day,
a mighty day,
a mighty day? Great God, the bottom of the storm is what the fall. A mighty day.
Mighty Day. I remember a song called Midnight in Moscow. It was an instrumental hit by Kenny Ball. Did you do this one before or after the Kenny Ball instrument? Do you remember the Kenny Ball instrumental hit? Bum, 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 bum,
I think he was born after we actually existed.
Oh, maybe he was.
Actually, it was a very big hit over in Europe in its original Russian version. So we adapted it for our trio, keeping the original Russian words.
We're going to listen to it right now. Moscow Nights, the Chad Mitchell Trio. Come to A Dying Business, and this is one of your serious records, right? A Dying Business, it's about funerals.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean,
bravest undertaking we've ever made. It was inspired by Jessica Mitford in her book called The High Cost of Dying.
Who wrote the song?
You know, I'm not sure unless Mike is. But then, of course, if you'd look on the record, you would find out.
Oh, yes, it's hold on a second. It's A Dying Business, and it was written by Ebb and Martin.
Fred Ebb and Norman Martin.
Fred Ebb is the guy who was the voice of the Little Blue Man on the Betty Johnson record, by the way.
This is Fred Ebb who wrote many of the
Broadway shows?
Broadway musicals?
Yeah, it is the same Fred Ebb.
Candor
and Ebb.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It is. Believe it or not, he was the Little Blue Man.
Oh my God.
And a lot of people, actually a very talented songwriter, well-known songwriter. He wrote Cabaret, I believe, and so he did that record. A lot of people thought it was Hugh Downs who was the Little Blue Man voice, but it wasn't. Hugh Downs did it with Betty Johnson on TV, but it was actually Fred Ebb who recorded it and wrote the song. Anyway, A Dying...
You're a font of information, Ronnie.
Yeah, and you don't even know if I'm just bluffing here or not. That's the amazing thing. I could just make anything up. You'll believe it because I sound convincing, but I am right about that.
I believe that one.
Is it fair to say that this recording kind of speaks for itself?
Yes, and we still do it today occasionally.
Okay, right now, the serious side of the Chad Mitchell Trio. Here's A Dying Business.
Funeral Directors of America, I am very deeply honored standing here, receiving this token of your esteem, the Funeral Director of the Year. Now, I've been asked by all the delegates and members of the board to tell you of the funeral that won me this award. It was handled with taste and dignity. That much I can say for it. And I'm sure it will take the family 20 years to pay for it.
It was a hell of a funeral. It was a hell of a funeral. The finest funeral ever booked. I had some high school juniors who passed around petunias in villages everywhere you look. It was a hell of a funeral. I see one hell of a funeral. Oh, how I wish that you were there. I had 10 majorettes doubling on the castanets. It really was a lively affair. It really was a lively affair. It was a hell of a funeral. It was a hell of a funeral.
The National Guard showed up for me.
And during the oration, they went into formation and formed the letters
R.P.
It was a hell of a funeral. I say one hell of a funeral. I gave it all my love and care. The band was on its toes playing Mexican Valley Rose. It really was a lively affair. It really was a lively affair.
A casket, a tasket. Tell us about the casket.
Don't tell you about the casket. My good friends would make them all right pop. It was sterling silver all around with a real four-mic top.
Four-mic top. It had a four-mic top.
Well, I'll tell you about the widow, my good friends. A widow was navy blue with a gown designed by Balenciaga. I supplied that too.
He stole the widow, well, we still
ran the first funeral raffle, though I don't much like the boast. I gave away a Chevrolet to the person who cried the most.
He gave away a brand new Chevrolet,
one of myself. The ranking jugglers by the grave to demonstrate their art. And one man was down, fired a gun to let the hootenanny start.
He fired a gun and hootenanny begun.
I was serving beer and pretzels till the hot pastrami came, and I sold some souvenir hackies with the dear departed's name.
He was selling hackies with the dear departed's name. At the fitting finale, we had the Rockettes from New York's Music Hall. And you can see my very good friends all in all.
All in all.
All in all.
All in all.
In all. It was a hell of a funeral. I say one hell of a funeral. No other burial could compare. It really was a swinging affair.
Well, that song was called A Dying Business, and I think it basically says it all, so I don't have to say any more about it. This next song is a seasonal song, but I think it's a good song for any season, a song written by Tom Paxton. And I think this actually became your biggest hit single. It's called The Marvelous Toy. How'd it go? Whir or zip or bang or I forgot.
Well, it did all of those things. And Tom Paxton brought this song to us when he was auditioning for the Chad Mitchell Trio. He was auditioning to take the place of Mike Pugh, who left after 1 year. We sang with him for about a week and then finally decided that that particular timbre of voices wasn't going to work for us. And so Tom said, great, but I've got this song that you've got to hear. And he sang The Marvelous Toy for us. And so we had the great fortune of being able to record it first and put it out eventually as a single record.
When I was just a wee little lad, full of health and joy, my father homeward came one night and gave to me a toy. A wonder to behold it was, with many colors bright. And the moment I laid eyes on it, it became my heart's delight. It went zip when it moved, bop when it stopped, whirr when it stood still.
I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
The first time that I picked it up, I had a big surprise, for right on its bottom were two big buttons that looked like big green eyes. I first pushed one, then the other, then I twisted its lid, and when I set it down again, here is what it did. It went zip when it moved, bop when it stopped, whirr when it stood still.
I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
It first marched left, then marched right, then marched under a chair. And when I looked where it had gone, it wasn't even there. I started to cry, and my daddy laughed, for he knew that I would find, when I turned around, my marvelous toy chugging from behind. It went zip when it moved, bop when it stopped, whirr when it stood still.
I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
Now the years have gone by too quickly, it seems. I have my own little boy, and yesterday I gave to him my marvelous little toy. His eyes nearly popped right out of his head. He gave a squeal of glee.
Neither one of us knows just what it is, but he loves it just like me.
It still goes zip
when it moves, and bop when it stops, whirr when it stands still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
Marvelous toy, Chad Mitchell Trio.
Let me tell you just a quick anecdote about that. I don't remember how far it got up on the charts, but it got quite a ways up on the charts. And it probably would have gone into the top 10 or even to the top 1, except Kennedy got assassinated 2 weeks after we released it. That pretty well shut down the record. Of course it shut down the country, and, you know, we're getting close to Christmas, and no one wanted to, you know...
Talk about a marvelous toy.
At
with,
that point,
yeah.
And it had kind of a detrimental effect on the ultimate success of the record, but you're right, it was the best-selling record that we ever had.
Now we come to a song called The Unfortunate Man. I know that Jimmy Driftwood recorded the song. Did he write the song?
I think he did. I think on our record we give him credit for it. Whether he wrote it or whether he found it in a traditional form and made it his own, I don't know. And then, of course, we all felt we were unfortunate men at that time, and it had a particular appeal to us, so away we went.
Unfortunate men, but not necessarily in the same connotation of the lyric of this song, I hope.
No, I was just being facetious.
There once was a lawyer they called Mr. Clay. He had but 2 clients and they wouldn't pay. At last of starvation he grew so afraid that he courted and married a wealthy old maid. At the wedding the lawyer made one big mistake. 'Twas not in omitting the wine or the cake. The ring was well chosen, they had a big fee, but the lawyer did not get a warranty deed. He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
Yes,
he's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
At night in their chamber the lady arose and began to prepare to retire and repose. Her husband sat near her admiring her charms that gave him such pleasure to hold in his arms.
She went to the washstand to bathe her fair face, and thus she destroyed all her beauty and grace. The rose on her cheek quickly grew very faint, and he saw on the towel 'twas nothing but paint. He's a very unfortunate man.
Oh, yes!
He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate man. She went to the mirror to take down her hair, and when she had done so, her scalp was all bare. Said she, "Don't be frightened to see my bald head. I'll put on my cap when I get into bed."
She hung her false hair on the wall on a peg. Then she proceeded to take off her legs. Her trembling husband got quite a surprise when she asked him to come and take out her glass eyes. Now all you young men who would marry for life, be sure to examine your intended wife. Remember the lawyer who trusted his eyes and a little bit later got quite a surprise. He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
Oh, yes?
He's a very unfortunate, very unfortunate man.
Just one question about that song, The Unfortunate Man. Did you originally hear the song, hearing Jimmy Driftwood's recording of it, or did you hear it from somewhere else?
You know, I think that Milt Okun, who was our musical director at the time, brought that song to us, and whether he brought it in the form of a recording or in the form of a lyric, I can't say.
I'm Ronnie Allen, pleased to have on the phone with me Chad and Mike of the Chad Mitchell Trio. And the next one is an African song. Some people know this song as On That Great Civilized Morning. Other people know this as Wimoe.
Yes, Wimoe certainly is a part of the musical portion of the song. The song itself is the original Wimoe, but the poem was written by Yip Harburg. Yip Harburg was a gentleman who wrote a great many very popular songs at the time. He was a lyricist. He wrote
Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? He wrote all of the music for The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
So he had written a series of poems that he called Rhymes for the Irreverent, and he allowed us to include some of those poems on a couple of our records. And in fact, one of the records is called Rhymes for the Irreverent.
Okay.
Basically, we wanted to include this poem as a cut on this album, and we set it musically with Wimoe. What we were after is the poem, but we had to set it musically somehow or other, and so we sang Wimoe, which we had done priorly with Miriam Makeba, that great African artist that we had actually toured with, and often sang Wimoe with her as a kind of a finish to our concerts when we were touring together, although then it was called Imbube, the actual, I don't know if it's Swahili or it's Zulu. As a matter of fact, Imbube is Zulu.
I know that Miriam Makeba initially was known for a song called The Click Song.
That's correct. And on her album, on one of her albums, I think her first, we appeared as guest artists and helped her sing her version of Wimoe on that album.
Her biggest hit was Pata Pata.
Through all of this stuff, Ronnie, you don't know how many people we do interviews with that have absolutely no idea who we are to begin with, as well as anybody else of the same era. You know?
So why do they want to do interviews if they don't know who you are? Well, they figured I'll find out.
There's a variety of reasons, as well, you know.
Right.
But anyway, it's such a delight to talk to somebody who knows all of the music of that world, at least.
You're saying all the right things. Okay.
Thank you so much. Oh, and I appreciate the car you're sending out for us.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. It will pick you up.
Thank you.
I'm not going to tell you.
No, we're keeping the car. It'll pick us up.
Second
thing. The title will be with the car.
Here is an African song on that great civilized morning, and a little bit of Wimoe thrown in as well. Chad Mitchell Trio.
The question is, are the Africans in Africa prepared for independence? Do they have enough delinquents among their juvenile descendants?
Can they fill their air with smog enough? Their rivers with pollutions? Are their citizens evolved enough for mental institutions?
Are they smart enough to know enough to regulate their taxes so the poor can pay the rich to keep the poor flat in their axes?
And they know how to destroy what they produce for their enjoyment, or employ enough machines to keep employees from employment.
Have the natives the intelligence, the native wisdom, or the dexterity to establish atom bases as the base of their prosperity?
In essence, have we morally the right to even plan to let the backward nations join the Brotherhood of Man?
An African song, and I don't have to mention the rest of the title because we won't have time to do anything else if I do. Here's a song written by Phil Oakes. And it's called The Draft Dodger Rag. I guess during the Vietnam War, this was a song that people heard quite a bit of.
Yes, that is correct. And this song is also preceded by one of the poems from that same little book that was called Rhymes for the Irreverent.
Phil Oakes, incidentally, was a great singer-songwriter, and tragically, he took his own life. Part of his musical legacy was this particular song, performed so well by the Chad Mitchell Trio, The Draft Dodger Rag.
We've licked pneumonia and TB and plagues that used to mock us. We've got the onus and the sun. The smallpox cannot park us. We found the antibodies for the staphylostreptococcus. But oh, the universal curse from Vietnam to Korea. The bug of bugs that bugs us still and begs for panacea. Oh, who will find the antidote for pentagonorrhea?
I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God and Senator Dodd and it's even old Castro town. And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red.
But when I got to my old draft board, buddy, this is what I said.
Sergeant, only 18, I got a ruptured spleen and I always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat and my feet are flat, my asthma's getting worse. Consider my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, and I'm going to school, and I'm a-working in a defense plant.
I got a dislocated disc and a wrapped up back, and I'm allergic to flowers and bugs. And when a bomb gel hits, I get epileptic fits, and I'm addicted to 1,000 drugs.
I got the weakness woes, and I can't touch my toes. I can hardly reach my knees. And if the enemy ever came close to me, well, I'd probably start to sneeze.
Sarge, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat, and my feet are glass. My asthma's getting worse. Consider my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school, and I'm a-working in a defense plant. I hate Joe and lie, and I hope he dies, but I think you gotta see that if someone's gotta go over there, that someone isn't me. So have a ball, Sarge, watch them fall while you kill me 1,000 or so. And if you ever get a war without any gore, well, I'll be the first to go. Sarge, I'm only 18.
I got a ruptured spleen.
And I always carry a purse.
I got eyes like a bat, and my feet are flat, and my asthma's getting worse. Consider my career, my sweetheart dear.
I got a water in the rubber tree plant.
Besides, I ain't no fool. I'm a going to school, and I'm a working in a defense plant. Cause I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I got eyes like a bat, and my feet are flat. My asthma's getting worse. Consider my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool. I'm a going to school, and I'm a working in a defense plant.
I'm Ronnie Allen. That song was The Draft Dodger Rag, and I'm talking to the Chad Mitchell Trio, who are at times slightly irreverent. However, they are never irrelevant. I think I said that
pretty Sometimes well. We are slightly reverend, however.
Oh, you are.
One of our members, Joe Frazier, is an Episcopal priest.
I know that. And the reason I found that out, Chad, and I could mention this, last night, Chad, you said, hey, you might want to talk to Joe, our other member, because at the time I thought he might be doing this show. So I called up the number that you gave me, and it rang four times, and then I got the old answering machine that said, you've reached, I think it was St. Columbus Episcopal Church, please leave a donation. No, it said, please, please leave a message. And I hung up the phone. I said, that can't be the right number. I probably copied a digit wrong. And then I called you back, Chad, and you said, it's the right number.
If you use this, I need to correct you because Joe has corrected us. It is not St. Columbus. It is St. Columbaz.
Oh, okay.
Like an A-S at the end.
Columbaz.
Yeah, it's a whole different saint.
And Joe lives up in Big Bear, California.
Okay. I don't take anything personally, by the way. I just want this to be as factually accurate as possible.
Well, and not only that, you have the final edit button.
That's true. I always do it very responsibly. I mean,
oh, sure.
Because I want you to like what I've done, and I'm going to make every effort that you're going to be very, very happy. I want to.
You know, when I see the car, of course we will.
Oh, I'm sure. I was going to actually send a plane, but now you only want a car.
Yeah,
I was
we going don't to give have
you
our license.
Oh, okay. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I have on the phone Chad and Mike of the Chad Mitchell Trio. Now there's an interesting song, The Great Historical Bum. What can you tell us about that?
Well, Woody Guthrie.
Well, at one time, actually, Odetta and both of those songs together.
Time out!
Great.
That's a whistle. I guess I was supposed to say either Chad or Mike. And
now that you've said Chad, let me tell you what the real story
no,
is.
No,
it's a matter
the real
of
story goes back to the time.
Piece of satire that there, and Belafonte came up and said,
huh?
That's why we're going to leave you.
Okay,
wait a minute. Hanging. I think that's the funny part.
This is the first time I ever feel I've lost control of a show here. All right, I will ask you just briefly, Chad, because we only have about 10 or 15 seconds now to discuss this song.
Well, I think this is another song that Milt Okun brought to us and said that Odetta and I've forgotten who the other person was, that they had kind of done this in some form or another, and we seized on it, I will say. I mean, it was just such a perfect song for us to make the introduction that we made, which actually set the song up, I think, quite wonderfully.
The concept was that both Joe Frazier and myself, Mike, would try to outdo each other by bragging, and Chad would attempt to sing a verse after Joe or after me or both, and we wouldn't allow him to. We wouldn't let him to until the very end of the song, where he finally got to sing his little verse. And then pandemonium takes place when all three of us, just as we did in the spoken introduction, sing our own stuff and go in our own direction. We finally end up together.
I think that it might be appropriate for us to introduce ourselves individually to you. My name is Chad Mitchell, and I'm from Spokane, Washington.
My name is Joe Frazier, and I'm from Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Lebanon is situated in one of the most fertile valleys in the East Coast.
My name is Mike Koblick, and I come from the great Canadian Southwest. And I come from a town called Trail, British Columbia, and it's noted for its lead zinc smelter, which is world known. It's the biggest in the world.
Well, everybody knows that in Pennsylvania we have a great many steel mines and steel mills and things, and Lebanon has one of the largest ones there. It's my hometown.
Trail is not a one-industry town, though. Trail also is the center for the Elephant brand fertilizer, which is built very good. No, this is true. No, really. No. This is true, though. They have a company there that makes nothing but elephant brand fertilizer, and it's the biggest company of its kind in the whole world.
Well, Lebanon, Pennsylvania is right near Hershey, Pennsylvania. You've all heard of that. And that's where they make all the chocolate, and there are more candy bars made there than any other place in the whole country.
Trail is also noted because last year the Trail Smoke Eaters hockey team won the World Hockey Championships over in Sweden.
The amateur hockey championships.
But the World Hockey Championships over in Sweden.
Guess I forgot to mention that Spokane, Washington is the apple, cherry, and blue leaf cabbage center of the United States.
I was born about 10,000 years ago. There ain't nothing in this world that I don't know.
I saw Peter, Paul, and Moses playing Ring Around the Roses, and I'll whoop the guy what says it isn't so.
Well, I'm just a lonesome traveler, a great historical bum. Highly educated, through history I have come. I built the Rock of Ages, it was in the year 01, and that's about the biggest thing that man has ever done.
I saw Adam and Eve driven from the door. I'm the guy that picked the fig leaves that they wore. And from behind the bushes peeping, saw the apple they was eating. And I swear that I'm the one what at the core.
Garden of Eden.
Now I built the Garden of Eden, it was in the year of 02. Joined the Apple Pickers Union, and I always paid my due. I'm the man what signed the contract to raise the rising sun. And that's about the biggest thing that man has ever done.
I taught Samson how to use his mighty hand. I showed Columbus to this happy land. And for Pharaoh's little kiddies, I built all the pyramids. And through the Sahara carried all the sand.
Now I was strong off on the pyramids and the Tower of Babel too. I opened up the ocean, let the migrant children through. I fought a million battles and I never lost a one. And that's about the biggest thing that man has ever done.
I taught Solomon his little ABC. I'm the first one that ate Limburger cheese. And while floating down the bay with Methuselah one day, I saw his whiskers floating in the breeze. And it was
now I fought the revolution that set the country free.
And a couple of Indians that dumped the Boston Bay.
I won the Battle of Ballyhoo
and the Battle of Bully Run.
And that's about the biggest thing that man has ever done.
Well, Queen Elizabeth, she fell in love with me. We were married in Milwaukee secretly. But I got tired and shook her and ran off with General Hooker to go shooting skeeters down in Tennessee.
Now I was born about 10,000 years ago. There ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. I saw Peter, Paul, and Moses playing Ring Around the Roses. And now what the guy that says it isn't so. Now I'm just a lucky traveler, a great historical bone. There ain't nothing in this world.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and Chad and Mike, I just cannot thank you enough for taking the time out of your very busy schedule when you could have been doing something else. There's all these TV shows you could have been watching, and instead you said, I'm going to do this interview with Ronnie, and it means a lot to me. And what can
Ronnie,
I
say? Ronnie, this is Mike Kavlik, and I really have enjoyed these past minutes with you, and I just wanted to say thank you to you and everybody out there on the other coast for thinking about the Chad Mitchell Trio and playing some of our music.
Well, it's my pleasure. Chad, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yes, thank you so much for getting us out of the wheelchairs into the radio audience once again. It's been a delight.
It's not the radio audience, it's the audio radiance.
It's the audio radiance. It's my brain that's not working correctly. Thank you so much.
We're going to close with your version of Blowing in the Wind. Did you do that before or after Peter, Paul, and Mary did their version?
Well, actually, this is kind of an interesting story in a way. Bob Dylan had just written this new song, and Bob Dylan's business manager was a good friend of Milt Okun, who was our musical director, and of Frank Fried, who was the trio's business manager. Bob Dylan's manager owed one of our managers a personal business favor. So he brought this song and said, here is Bob Dylan's first written song, and it's a good one. It's going to be a very important song. It's something that the Chad Mitchell Trio should do. And so we took it and learned it and recorded it almost immediately and wanted desperately to put it out as a single recording. The music director for Harry Belafonte, whom we were signed to, came and said, I'm sorry, we can't put this song out as a single recording because it has the word death in it, and there has not been a hit single with the word death in it.
How many deaths will it take?
Okay.
Oh, no.
What did I hear? Okay.
And so he said, no, we're not going to put it out as a single. Well, we were dismayed because this, we felt, was going to be a very, very important song. So the business manager for Bob Dylan then decided to take the song back not take it away from us, but in essence to give it to Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Whom he also managed, by the way.
So he said, all right, if the Chad Mitchell Trio, who has already recorded it, is only going to put it on their album and not put it out as a single, then we're going to give this song to Peter, Paul, and Mary because they would like to put it out as a single. And it became a very important song and a very big hit for Peter, Paul, and Mary and for Bob Dylan. The album that we had recorded it on was called The Chad Mitchell Trio in Action. And as soon as Peter, Paul, and Mary's hit the chart and started to move upward toward number one, our record company changed the name of our LP, long playing record, from In Action to Blowin' in the Wind. But they still would not put it out as a single.
If Peter, Paul, and Mary's record was climbing the chart, maybe they just felt, okay, there,
no
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
There was no reason to do it.
There was no reason to do it.
Point being is that they wouldn't let us do it. Peter, Paul, and Mary made a hit out of it. So then they changed our album name to take advantage of that. It was like kind of a 1-2 punch, you know, in our faces. And we said, that's it. Thank you very much.
Sometimes called a double whammy.
A double whammy, and we went on to Mercury Records. The other thing is, not only did we record it first, we also performed it on the Ed Sullivan Show, which was the first time that it was ever performed.
It was the first time it was ever televised and heard by a large percentage
by
of the public.
A large number of people. And they still wouldn't release it as a single. You know?
They still wouldn't release it, but I'm sure it was a mighty big shoe.
Oh, a mighty big shoe.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? Yes, and how many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head, pretending he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. The answer, my friend, is blowing.